Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Yeah, danger is my assignment. I go to a lot of places in the world I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though, trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't expect this assignment is going to involve using a 10-year-old boy as a cross on which to crucify his father. Morning, Commissioner.
Steve.
Well, I finally got the jump on you this morning.
How's that?
You're always sending me halfway around the world in 10 minutes' notice. Well, this time I've beaten you to the punch. I'm all packed, I've got my passport and credentials in order, and I'm ready to take off. Now, where are you sending me?
Just down the hall, Steve.
What?
That's it.
Oh, great. Mitchell, the mastermind. Ah, well, okay, so I'll unpack.
I wouldn't do that yet. You start down the hall. Where you end up is anybody's guess.
What's the deal, Commissioner?
Ever hear of International Lecture Tours Limited?
Hey, now, look, my soapbox days are over.
Now, don't worry. You're not going to be making speeches, but you'll be investigating a few people who do. This is an organization of 6 European professors, Steve. They lecture at colleges and universities all over the world. Each of them hits this country about twice a year.
Well, what about them?
We have definite information that one of them is using his lectures just as a front. That he's picking up information from various contacts in this country and taking it back to Europe with him.
Uh-huh. Which professor is it?
We don't know, but Dr. Gerber does.
Gerber?
Yes. He's one of the members of this lecture circuit. He's waiting down the hall to talk to you now, Steve. Find out what you can from him. Then go anywhere and do anything that's necessary to smash this spy ring. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
Now, here's Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent.
Well, this is really a switch. 10 minutes after talking to the commissioner, I'm usually heading for the nearest airport, but now here I am just heading for the next office. From the look in the commissioner's eye, though, I've got a strong hunch that this assignment is going to involve a whole lot more than just a walk down the hall.
Mr. Mitchell?
Yeah. You're Professor Gerber?
Yes. I've been waiting to talk to you.
Well, start talking.
As you may have heard, I'm a member of International Lecture Tours. I'm now lecturing in this country.
I understand that you have reason to believe that one of the other members of the lecture tour is a foreign agent.
I'm positive of it. And moreover, I know who this person is.
No? Who?
I can only tell you that on one condition, Mr. Mitchell.
What is it?
I must have protection.
Well, that shouldn't be too hard to arrange. You're safe in this country and...
But you don't understand. I'm not speaking of protection for myself.
What?
Here, I want to show you something. My wife died last year. This was her locket. I've carried it with me ever since. Look at this picture inside.
A little boy.
My son, Kurt. 10 years old.
Oh, he's the one you want protection for?
Yes. I know only too well the measures of retaliation which might be employed against the boy if I were to reveal the information which I possess.
Yeah. Where is he?
At a school in Stockholm, Sweden. I had to leave him there. He has no other relatives. The school is run by an Englishman, Horace Wakefield.
I see. Okay, Dr. Gerber. I'll go over to Stockholm and get your boy myself. How's that?
Oh, that's what I hoped you would say, Mr. Mitchell. And when you return, I shall give you the name at the head of the spy ring.
Fair enough. I'll see you in about 4 days. Yeah? What is it, stewardess?
Here's a radio message. Just came in for you.
Oh, thanks. Gerber reports his locket containing boy's pictures stolen 3 hours ago, Commissioner. Ah, well, I thought this sounded too easy to be true.
Yes?
Are you the headmaster of this school?
Yes, I am, Dr. Horace Wakefield. What can I do for you?
I'm Steve Mitchell. I'd like to talk to one of your students. His name is Kurt.
Kurt? Come in, Mr. Mitchell.
Now, you said you wished to see Kurt.
Why?
I have a message for him from his father. Where is he?
Kurt has disappeared.
What?
I can't find him anywhere, Mr. Mitchell, and I'm worried sick.
Tell me what happened.
Well, last evening, a woman came to see him. She told me she was his aunt.
But Kurt's father told me that Kurt had no other living relatives.
Well, how was I to know that? She said she was his aunt. I saw no reason to doubt her.
Go on.
Well, I sent her to his room, and, well, I believe she left when visiting hours were over.
What do you mean you believe she left? Aren't you sure?
Was it? As a matter of fact, I turned in rather early last night. I had a spitting headache, and I took a...
Sounds like a pretty careless way to run a boarding school, Dr. Wakefield.
I resent that, Mr. Mitchell. Ordinarily, I am very careful to see that all the regulations are enforced. But with this headache, I just had to go to bed.
Okay, skip it. Then you really don't have any idea when the woman left.
No. All I know is that Kurt was not here this morning.
Great.
Oh, that must be Ilsa.
Who?
Oh, she's a playmate of Kurt's. Come in.
They told me you wanted to see me, Dr. Wakefield.
Yes, Ilsa. As you know, your little friend Kurt has disappeared.
Yes.
I want you to tell me if you've ever heard him speak of running away.
No, Dr. Wakefield.
Have you any idea what happened to him or where he might be?
No, sir.
Oh, very well. That'll be all, Ilsa. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wakefield.
Haven't reported this to the police yet, but I think I'd better right now.
No, wait a minute.
But if the boy's been kidnapped...
If he's been kidnapped, I don't think he's being held for ransom.
Then what?
I think he's being held to ensure that someone will keep his mouth shut.
Oh.
If that's the case, the boy is probably safe for the time being. But if the kidnappers feel the pressure on them, then it could be another story.
I see.
No, this has got to be done undercover. Now, don't report it just yet. Let me see what I can find out first. I leave Wakefield School thinking about his convenient headache the night before and wondering where I'm going to start. I know I've got to find Kurt in a hurry, and then on my way into town, I spot a poster on a building announcing a lecture by a Dr. Friedrich, member of International Lecture Tours. And farther down on the poster, I see that the headquarters of the lecture outfit is right here in Stockholm. I copy down the address and go over.
Morning.
Good morning. Is this the headquarters of International Lecture Tours?
It sure is.
You in charge?
Well, I guess you could call it being in charge. I'm the leg man for the outfit.
Oh? And I guess you're the boy I want to talk to. My name's Mitchell, Steve Mitchell.
Oh, Saunders is mine. Always glad to meet a fellow American.
So you're the leg man for this outfit, huh? What does that involve?
Well, you name it. The works. Shagging around the world in front of the wise men. Scheduling lecture dates. Making hotel reservations for them. Yeah, and making sure they don't run out of toothpaste.
That sounds like quite a job.
That'll be an easier way of making a living.
Look, I'd like a little information about these professors.
Hey, you don't happen to be an insurance salesman, do you?
Not exactly.
Well, they want me to be careful about things like that. They don't like to be bothered with salesmen.
Here. You'd better take a look at my credentials.
Huh? Oh, I see. That looks pretty official. What do you want to know, Mr. Mitchell?
There are six professors in the circuit, aren't there?
Yes, that's right.
Well, how well do you know them?
Oh, how well can you know those birds? They live in a world all their own.
Yeah. Where are the various lecturers now?
Well, let me see. One of them's in India. That's Dr.
Oh, you can skip him.
All right. Another's in Canada.
Well, forget him, too.
Let's see. There's one in Cape Town, South Africa.
That makes three. Keep going.
All right. Dr. Buchek in Copenhagen, Dr. Gerber in the States, and Dr. Friedrich here in Stockholm. You know, you always have to try to keep those two apart, Gerber and Friedrich. They don't seem to like each other very much.
Oh, and you say Friedrich's here in Stockholm?
He's lecturing tonight, as a matter of fact. Want a ticket?
I'd be more interested in his address right now.
He's staying at the Monarch Hotel.
Okay. Well, thanks for the information, Saunders.
Sure. Anything else I can do?
Not right now, I guess. But if by any chance there's a sudden change in the travel plans on the part of any of your professors, I wish you'd let me know. I'll be staying at the Monarch, too.
Sure, be glad to.
Well, see you around, Saunders.
Yeah.
I'm Steve Mitchell, Dr. Friedrich. I'd like to talk to you.
Later. Can you not see I'm busy with my lecture notes?
No, this will only take a minute.
But I have just told you.
Yeah, now I'm telling you. We're going to have a talk.
But, very well, come in.
Thanks.
Now, please be brief. What do you want to talk about?
I understand you don't like one of your colleagues very well, Dr. Gerber.
What business is this of yours?
Maybe plenty. Why don't you like him?
Because most of the theories he blabs about in his lectures are absolutely unsound. I know. Because my theories are correct. I have tested them. And they contradict his. Therefore, he is wrong.
I see. Now, you're sure there isn't anything more to it than that?
Of course I'm sure. Now, if you will excuse me.
Just one more question. Do you mind telling me where you were last night?
Why, I was working on my lecture notes.
Oh, that's funny. They told me downstairs at the desk that you went out last night.
Oh, yeah. I had forgotten. I had an engagement for a while.
Is she nice?
Yeah. Well, see here, Mitchell. This is none of your business.
Okay, Dr. Friedrich. You better get back to your lecture notes. I'll probably be seeing you again. Yeah.
Mr. Mitchell, this is Saunders of International Lecture Tours.
Oh, yeah, Saunders.
Say, you told me to call you if anything new developed with any of the professors.
That's right. What have you got?
Oh, this morning I ran into Dr. Buchek on the street.
Oh, you said Dr. Buchek was supposed to be in Copenhagen, didn't you?
Yeah, and I asked how come.
Yeah, well, what did the good doctor say?
Oh, just something about wanting to skip the rest of the circuit. Tired or something like that.
I see. When did Buchek arrive in Stockholm?
This morning, by plane.
You sure about that?
Why, no, that's just what I was told.
Mm-hmm. Where's the professor staying?
Strand Hotel, I think.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Saunders. I think I'd better go over and give Dr. Buchek the double check.
Yes?
I'd like to see Dr. Buchek.
You are looking at her.
Huh?
I'm Dr. Buchek.
Well.
Well, you seem surprised.
I am. I thought Dr. Buchek was a man.
Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Mr.
Mitchell. And I can't say that I'm disappointed.
Oh, thank you. Oh, please, come in.
Thank you.
Now, what can I do for you, Mr. Mitchell?
I understand that you canceled the rest of your lecture dates suddenly and returned here to Stockholm.
Yes, I did. These lectures are so tiring. I sometimes wonder why I ever started on the circuit.
Oh, I don't know. Seems like a good opportunity to do a lot of traveling.
At this point, I've had my fill of it. Mr. Mitchell, these questions you're asking me, are you perhaps a newspaper reporter?
Yeah, sort of. When did you arrive in Stockholm?
My plane landed only this morning.
You're sure you didn't arrive last night?
Of course not. I've just told you my...
And you're sure that you didn't by any chance take a little trip out to Dr. Wakefield's boarding school?
I've never heard of the place. See here, Mr. Mitchell. I'm quite sure you're not a newspaper reporter. And I'm also quite sure my activities are none of your business.
Suppose we just pretend they're my business, Dr. Buchek.
Very well. In that case, suppose you just pretend I'm telling you the truth about arriving this morning.
I see. Well, thanks for the interview. I can check up on your arrival time, you know.
Please do. And when you're quite through checking up on me, then you may pretend that you owe me an apology for your rudeness.
So I leave, and it looks like the trail's beginning to heat up a little. At this point, Dr. Buchek qualifies as my grade-A suspect. Then suddenly, as I'm walking down the hall, a guy pops out of nowhere right in front of me.
A word with you, sir.
Who are you?
Oh, permit me. A masker. I would like you to meet my friend Olaf.
Huh? I don't see any...
That is Olaf's gun in your back.
I am Olaf.
I'm delighted. Look, what's this all about?
Shh, please. We must be very quiet. We would not want to disturb the hotel guests.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start disturbing them plenty if you...
Please, I told you, we must be quiet.
Look, you think I'm going to hold still while you work me over your...
You would not listen to reason. It is a pity.
He is not saying anything now, Oscar.
Of course not, Olaf. That was a most effective silencer you administered just then. A heavy blow over the kidney often renders a man completely speechless. See how he stands with one foot drawn up, almost like a heron. Quite an amusing spectacle, is it not?
Good, Oscar.
Now, Mr. Mitchell, perhaps you will come with us quietly.
Yeah. I still don't know what this is all about.
You made a big mistake bothering the young lady you just talked to, Mr. Mitchell.
Dr. Buchek?
Now, it's necessary for the three of us to go for a nice ride.
I get it. A short ride, I suppose.
Oh, no. On the contrary. For Olaf and myself, yes, it will be a short ride. But for you, it will be such a long trip that I doubt very much if you will ever return.
Hey, look, we've been winding our way up into these mountains for the last half hour. Where are we going?
Here's the turn of drive, Mr. Mitchell. You and I will just sit back here in the back seat and enjoy the ride.
We are at the top of the mountain now, Oscar.
Very well. You may stop the car now.
Okay. Now maybe you'll tell me what this is all about, or am I supposed to guess?
No, you may guess if you like.
I know. I'm supposed to figure out which of you twins has the Tony.
Beg pardon?
Oh, skip it. What do we do now? Get out and start walking?
Oh, no. On the contrary, you will remain in the car.
What?
Yes. Unfortunately, you are about to meet with a serious accident.
I guess I'm only out for a few seconds, but when I come to, I'm alone in the back seat, and the car is rolling downhill, gaining speed. I drag myself over into the front seat. I can see a sharp turn ahead and a cliff. I grab the steering wheel, and it comes off in my hand. I step on the brakes, and the pedal goes clear to the floor, but nothing happens. I start to bail out. Then I realize the windows are closed, and the inside handles to the doors and windows have been taken off. I get my foot up and start kicking at the window. The edge of the cliff is getting closer. I finally kick a hole in the window, jam my hand through it, and open the door from the outside. I dive out just as the car goes over the cliff. I land in the brush about 20 feet away and lie there, fighting to keep from passing out. After a few seconds, I hear steps, Oscar and Olaf, and they're heading in my direction. I hold my breath and flatten myself under the bushes.
Well, such an unfortunate accident our friend Mr. Mitchell encountered, eh, Olaf?
Perhaps we should go down to the bottom of the cliff and make sure, Oscar.
Make sure he stays. Now, Olaf, how could he have survived a crash like that?
I mean we should make sure that he did not get out of the car.
Oh, yes, perhaps you're right. Come, we will walk down to the back.
I know I've got to act fast now. As soon as the boys find no body in the car, they'll be after me again. I wait until they're out of sight, then I pull myself out of the bush. My body feels like one big bruise, but I finally make it back to town and head to the office of the International Lecture Tours.
Oh, hi, Mitchell. Hey, what happened? You look like you've been dragged through a knothole.
That's the understatement of the week, Saunders. Hey, look, have you got a picture of the beautiful Dr. Buchek around here anywhere?
Yeah, why, sure. Hey, here you are. This is one of the publicity pictures we sent to the papers. Will that do?
Oh, well, that'll do fine. Thanks.
Hey, she kind of make a hit with you?
Yeah, a big hit. And now I'm going to return the compliment.
Oh, Mr. Mitchell.
Hello, Dr. Wakefield.
Come in, please. I'm so glad to see you. Something has come up that you should know about.
What do you mean?
You remember I told you a woman posing as Kurt's aunt came here to the school to see him the night before last?
Sure, the night Kurt disappeared. What about it?
Well, that same woman, she came back here this morning.
What?
Yes, yes. I wasn't in my office at the time, but my secretary told me this woman inquired about Kurt again. I returned just in time to see her driving away. I tried to stop her. It's too late.
Wait a minute. That means they don't have Kurt then.
But where is he?
I wish I knew.
Who is they?
I think I know who one of them is. The woman. Here, take a look at this picture. Her name is Buchek.
What about her?
Isn't that the woman who was asking about Kurt?
No. I've never seen this woman in the picture before in my life.
What, are you sure about that?
But of course.
Oh, great. My case blows up in my face, and I don't have any idea where Kurt is. What a headache.
Hey, incidentally, have you had any more headaches lately, Dr. Wakefield?
Why, no.
Just the night that Kurt disappeared, huh?
See here, Mitchell, if you're trying to imply that I had anything to do with the boy's disappearance,
I'm not trying to imply anything, Wakefield. Just checking on your reaction times. I'll see you later. I go outside. I'm really stumped. I've got to find Kurt and find out who's behind this deal, and I'm fresh out of leads. Then, as I'm walking through the school grounds, I spot the little girl, Ilza, Kurt's playmate. She's just slipping out a side gate with a little package under her arm. I get a sudden hunch and follow her. She takes off through the woods, then down the roadway. I keep out of her sight, and finally, she disappears into an old deserted barn. A couple of minutes later, she comes out without the package. I wait until she heads back to the school, and then I go into the barn. There's a blonde kid sitting in a feed box, munching on a sandwich. It's Kurt Gerber. Hello, Kurt.
Did you come to hurt me?
No, Kurt. I came to help you. Your father sent me.
Oh, that is good. I've been praying for help. I knew it would come.
Yeah. Now, what happened, Kurt?
A woman came to see me at the school.
Mm-hmm.
She tried to make me go away with her.
Yes?
She said she was a friend of my father's, but I knew she was lying to me. So I asked her to wait outside my room while I packed.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I was alone, I climbed out the window and ran away.
I see.
My girlfriend Ilsa has been bringing food to me.
How did you happen to pick this barn to hide in?
I knew it was the right place as soon as I saw this manger.
Manger?
Yes. I read about a little boy in a manger once.
I see. Well, I guess you couldn't have picked a better place, Kurt.
Will you take me to my father?
Yeah, Wait a minute. Hey, three of them. Oscar, Olaf, and... Well, what do you know? So I finally found out who's behind this deal when it's too late.
It is never too late.
Yeah? Well, it will be if I don't figure out something to do in one big hurry. My eyes flick around the barn looking for something, anything. Then they light on an electric wire running along the wall. It looks like a 220-volt direct current, and the insulation is worn through in one spot. I jerk the wire, and it comes loose in my hand. I trail it behind me, holding it in my left hand by the insulated part. Then I wait. I take a quick look at Kurt. He's sitting there quietly, head bowed. His lips are moving a little. The door opens. Olaf comes in first, and I give him a right cross.
Mitchell!
Hold it, Oscar. I'm sure my gun will keep Mitchell in order for the time being.
Well, my old friend Saunders.
Hello, Mitchell.
So you're the big boy.
Yeah, I'm the big boy.
Sure. It's pretty logical when you look back on it. As leg man for the lecture circuit, you had a lot to do. Traveling. But you were doing more than making hotel reservations for the professors. You were picking up information from your various contacts and bringing it back to Europe with you.
How about that? What some guys will do for a buck, huh?
Yeah. You sent me chasing after that Jewcheck woman so your stooge didn't know where to pick me up.
True, true.
Where's your other stooge? The woman who tried to get Kurt.
Oh, she's waiting for me at the office till I take care of this little matter.
Where are you waiting for Saunders? Why don't
you... In a minute, Oscar, in a minute.
How did you find the barn?
We intercepted the little girl, Ilsa, and managed to persuade her to tell us. So now, at last, we have our boy, Kurt. Not much of a talker, is he?
What are you going to do now?
Well, I know Dr. Gerber was on to me, so the original plan, of course, was to grab Kurt and keep him as insurance against Gerber spilling about me. But now, unfortunately, you know about me, too. That means I'll have to kill both you and the boy and then discontinue my present enterprise. Sorry, but that's the way it is, Mitchell. You first.
His gun starts swinging in my direction. It's now or never. I whip the electric wire out from behind my back and lash at his gun with a... A spurt of blue flame wraps around the gun. Saunders drops the gun and grabs at his hand. I give him a fist. Austin grabs at the gun on the floor, but I straighten him up with an uppercut. I tie all three of them up with their belts. Then I turn towards Kurt. He's still sitting in the manger looking at me calmly.
Is it all over, Mr. Mitchell?
Well, it will be as soon as we pick up Saunders' girl at the lecture office.
I prayed that something would happen to deliver us. It happened.
Well, you see, I sort of made it happen, Kurt.
Did you? I prayed for a bolt of lightning, Mr. Mitchell.
Well, I guess you could call that hot wire a bolt of lightning. But it was man-made lightning.
Was it? How did you happen to think of it?
Well, it was the only thing to do.
But how did you happen to think of it?
Why, I guess it just sort of popped into my mind, Kurt.
You see?
See? Yeah, I see. And I'm the last guy in the world to argue the point, believe me. Come on, Kurt. You're going home to your father.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, is written by Bob Wright with music by Basil Adlam and is produced and directed by Bill Karn.